Good. Nice to see the sun a little bit today. Guess what? It's going to rain again. Wow. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Praying about, I knew I was going to be bringing a devotional for prayer being, and I was praying about what to bring, and God directed me to some verses. And the verses we're going to go to is John chapter 4. So if you want to go to John chapter 4. I don't know about you, but I was really moved on Sunday morning and with Pastor Josh and preaching and the mission of our church and what it is that God has for us to do. And called evangelism, call it going, getting it done. We all need that help to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. We do. I don't know about you, but it's a difficult task, it seems, that Satan has a grip on us sometimes to be able to stop us from really telling something that is the greatest story of all the world, and that's that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, was buried, and rose again for their salvation, for our salvation, that their sins can be forgiven. And that's the story that the very simple that we need to be able to tell people. Yes, going to heaven is important. That's great. But the very fact is that the only thing that's going to keep a person from heaven is their sin, which has to be paid for. And if they can't pay for it, we can't pay for it. Jesus Christ paid for it. Amen? And that's the message. And we see in John chapter 4, John's gospel just happens to be one of those gospels that radiates with that message. Of course, we read in John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the Lord. That's the verse, John 3:18-19, that convicted me of my salvation. And I trusted Christ. And so many years ago, and so the greatest need in the world today is the work that Jesus talks about in John chapter 4. Now, if you'll notice, he spends a lot in John chapter 4. This is really an evangelistic message that he talks to the woman at the well. And then in John chapter 4, I want you to turn to verse 30, 29 through 30. Let's see where we're going to go. All right. And we're going to start with verse 30. Okay? Verse 30. And this is Jesus, and he's talking about something that they need to do, that we need to do. And he said, and he went out of the city, and he came unto him. And in the meantime, his disciples besought him, saying, Master, eat. Now, they're talking about food, all right? But he said unto them, I have meat or food to eat that you know not of. And they said, the disciples said one to another, well, what is it? Hath any man brought him anything to eat? Now, here's the idea. Jesus was talking to them. They thought he was talking about physical food at this point. And he goes on and says, therefore said the disciples one to another, have the man brought him anything to eat? Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And then he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he and that soweth and he that, here it is, reapeth rejoice together. And here is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to, what is it? Reap. What is that? This is harvest time, folks. This is the time that Jesus was talking about, that the harvest is plenteous. What is it? It's a harvest of souls. It's a harvest of being able to bring people to Christ. And he goes on and he says there, if you sow and reap, may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap on that which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, but ye entered into their labors. God, I thank you for these folk that have come tonight to pray. Give us that burden to do that for those about us, our neighbors, folks across the street, in the city, that need to hear Christ very simply, that he is their salvation. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us tonight to see some of these things, that Christ might receive glory. Help me rely upon the Spirit of God tonight, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, I preached a message, and I'm going to try to do this. This is 30 years ago or 20 years ago. But anyways, I wanted to use something that I had, and here it is. While the woman to whom Jesus had been talking leaves and goes into the town, that's the woman at the well, and you remember that. That's that great evangelistic passage where this woman comes and he says something to her. And he says, if you had what I have, you will live. And what is it? It's life. That's what it is. And so he has the opportunity to teach his disciples a deeper lesson in us about the importance of a gospel ministry. And that's what we're involved in. That's what the church of Jesus Christ is. That's what our church is about, the gospel ministry. And that you and I can be no greater rewarded and involved in more important ministry than the gathering of precious souls. Yes, it's important that we have all of these, you know, we had young people here on Sunday night. And I believe that God's doing something there. We have more young people here on Sunday night than we've ever had, I think, as far as young people outside the church. Okay? And that's exciting. That's exciting. That's a priority. So actually, there's the gathering of those precious sons, those souls, are the harvest field for which God has for us. And you and I are involved in that. That's so exciting that we can be involved in that, that he has entrusted that to us. He says there in John 4:34, I say, all right, 4:35, say not ye there, and yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest. What's the priority? I'm going to deal with this and say that this is a lesson of priorities. Number one priority is of ministry. The importance of maintaining our bodies is important. I hope you all had a good meal tonight for supper and all that. That's important. But Jesus went further than that, and he says, I have meat for which you know not of. And he's going to relate to that. Jesus is not saying, standing here, saying, starve yourselves and don't eat or do anything like that. All right? But he's teaching about, Christ is trying to emphasize the priority of the work. What's the priority? What's the most important thing that God has for us to do? Folks, if we don't do this, this church will die. You realize that? This church will not go on if we do not take and do what Jesus is saying there. That's what, if you read the book of Acts, and you see in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and 3, as the disciples heard and came together, and the Holy Spirit was given, and they went out. Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost parts, they went out. And God used them in a tremendous way. But Jesus was teaching about something here, and it's back in chapter 6. Let's go to there. I'm going to have you jump around a little bit here. We got some time. 6:29 in John 6:29. Jesus taught about this. And we're going to go to verse 35 on this, but I'm just going to read. All right. And he's saying about laboring. Now notice verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat. There's the meat. Which perishes, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man. That's verse 27. Now go to verse 30. And they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see, believe thee what thou doest? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Who's he talking about? Who? Yes. And who was... They were wandering, right? All right, they lost what they were doing. And so it says, all right, and then he goes on and says, our fathers did manna in the desert. Is it written, he that gave bread from heaven to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. There it is. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They said, man, we really want it. And Jesus says this. Here it is. Get a hold of this. Jesus said this unto them, I am the bread of what? Life. Wow. Whew, isn't that neat? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth in me shall never thirst. That's what he said to the woman at the well. If you believe, if you come to me, I'll give you something that will satisfy you. And that's what the importance of ministry is all about. Jesus taught that. Jesus said, the will I have is to do his will. But later in John 12, he repeats this. Now, I want you to go to another passage. And this is in the New Testament, and this expands a little bit more, because the Apostle Paul picks up on this and says this same thing in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's go to it. See if I can find it. 2 Timothy. All right, all the T's. Got it. Pastor always teaches us well. All right. Did I say 1st or 2nd Timothy? All right. 1st Timothy. All right. I think it's right at the very beginning. No. Where is it? All right. All right. Go to chapter 2. All right, there's where we went. This is Paul's instructions to believers in the church of what we ought to do. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and going to church and giving. No, he says what? Intercessions, supplications and prayers. Giving thanks for all men. What do you think for all men? What all men? Well, here it goes. For kings and for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. We always use that. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, Paul always brings it back to that, the gospel. He also brings it back to the importance of the ministry of what he was there. Yes, we can use that instruction about, yes, it's important that we pray for kings, for the president, and for all those in authority. That's what we're doing here. But the bottom line is down here that they may come to a knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way and the what? And the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, that's what he was talking about back in John chapter 4. All right. That's the priority of ministry, but what about the priority of the harvest? Let's go back to John 4, and let's pick this one up. The priority of the harvest. In other words, we only have a certain period of time to gather. Now, if you come to my Sunday school class, I invite you. But we were going to talking about the world ages this week. This Sunday we're going to start the ages that we are living in. There's a creation age, innocency. There's a time of the flood. But then there's a time in which Christ came, and that is the big age called grace that you and I live in right now. And the importance of that ministry, the priority of the harvest, that's what he was saying. Look at verse 35 again. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months. Now, I don't know the significance of 4 months. I didn't study this out. And then cometh the harvest. There's only a certain period of time, I believe, that Jesus is saying there that you and I have to work. 2,000 years. Yes, but we have a lifetime. How old? We're promised 70 years. My mother's turning 90. I hope to catch up to her. But the priority of ministry, the priority of the harvest is what are we doing with our lives now? God has only given us this amount of time. These precious young people that come here for Patch the Pirate and Pee-wee and their parents and all of, you know, this is the time that God is, this is the time frame. We only have that 4 months, you see what I'm talking about, to work. That window may close. All right? Harvest time is very busy. Pastor always says that this is my favorite time of the year. Well, Brother Ray knows what I'm talking about when I'm talking about harvesting, because I've been harvesting honey, feral bee honey, for the last 3 weeks. And the bees are really working like crazy. I mean, they're bombarded. They're catching everything they can to build up. Because there's only a period of time that they have. And I just happen to show up and to steal their honey, get it from them, and they don't like that. But the people don't like to have bees in their house either, so I'm helping them. Anyways, I'll tell you the story sometime later. Ray's got it on, he's got it on movies. He's seen the whole thing. It's absolutely crazy what I've been doing. But anyways, to use the illustration, it's the harvest time. Listen, the farmers only have a certain amount of time to work. They plant, and then they harvest, and then they bring it in. And it's so important. And so that harvest time is what Christ is talking about here. All hands must be busy. Make hay while the sun shines, right? That's what it's about. Honey harvest time is soon over. And I'm trying like crazy to do that. By decree of God, by the very fulfillment of prophecy, the age of grace is upon us. What age is that? That age began when Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, grew in the 33rd year of his life, went, began a ministry of healing, incredible. You read about it in the Gospels. To show himself that he was the bread of life. And then he went to heaven after he died, rose, ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to proclaim that message, the message of the gospel. And that's fantastic. But that age of grace is quickly closing. Someday Jesus Christ will come to this earth. He will sit down on the Mount of Olives. And that age of grace will end. This earth will know tremendous tribulation for 7 years plus. 144,000 evangelists from Jewish evangelists will cover the earth and preach the gospel. We will be in heaven if you're in Christ. And this earth will not be like it is today. So that period of time will be closing. Who are we going to take with us? Harvest is necessary. Yes, it is. In the middle of the winter, Mrs. German knows this, and some of you ladies that do preserves and you get all this stuff ready, and you get it out in the middle of the winter, and you open up a can or a can of string beans that you made or something like that. And man, you're so glad because you put all that work into it. That's what it's about. Harvest is an opportunity. And harvest is urgent. May I encourage you. Hunting season's upon us. John will like this one. Hunting camp opens, and the guys had a new hunter come in, and they thought, well, we're going to show him exactly what to do. And man, you set him down, you've got to get on watch here, and you're going to put him there, your son or whoever it is. And it's the first time he's gone ever gone hunting. And he grabs his gun, this young guy grabs his gun, and he goes out into the woods, and he comes back with a deer. And the guys are standing around and say, well, how did you do that? He said, well, if you get out in the woods, it's full of them out there. The deer are out there. They're not in here. You see what I'm talking about? The world's full of them. The city is full of people. They're just crying. And we need like that. Well, there's a priority of reward, and that's the last one we're going to look at. The rejoicing comes. Go back to John 4, all right? Now, and I made mention of this, but it says there, and after John 4:36, he that reapeth receives wages, gathering fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, you know where I'm going with this. Because the Bible tells us, as Paul would talk about that, he that sows and he that reaps, all right? But all get the reward. All get the reward. We're going to get to that one in a second. All right? The exciting reward, gathering of fruit, is exactly to lead a soul to Christ. But it's just the reward to be involved in discipleship and some other aspect of the ministry. Just as on the farm, all benefit from the benefits of the harvest in order to be truly to appreciate it. But we must be a part of it some way. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what Paul was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Our time is nearly gone, but I'm pretty excited about this. Here's Paul's teaching in the Corinthian belief. Now, the Corinthian church, listen, the Corinthian church was one of the most talented churches ever. It had all the gifts, and everything was there. But they also had a lot of problems. There was sin in the camp. And Paul's going to address that in chapter 5 and on. But he's setting this up because he's talking about something that's happening on the inside at this point. And he goes to this chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. And he's trying to help the people see, all right, we're all going to get it. Who then is Paul? Now, they had a problem because they were following Paul and Paulus, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? Yeah, God gave the increase. So, doesn't matter, but it does matter. Because we all need to be a part of it. And then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything. So he goes to the opposite side of that and he says, hey, listen, you guys are nothing, but God is everything. So we've got some churches today and we've got some people today who are so soul hungry and they're marking them off and they're knocking them down and they're saying, man, I led 15 souls, 20 souls, whatever, and that's their reward because they got the numbers. That's not what God's saying. Mm-mm. He's saying God gets the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. You give the word of God out. You give the seed of the word of God. Ray White comes along and he picks that seed up and he says, hey, did you hear this? Oh, yeah, I just heard this the other day from some crazy guy down at Tabernacle Baptist. I don't know where it was, but, and oh, yeah, okay. But he doesn't run back to that, but he takes it and he runs with it. And then they run into Colton, and Colton waters it a little bit more. And then Stephen picks it up a little bit more. And then John Mark shows up at his house and leads the soul to Christ. But we all get the reward. But what's most important is the harvest. You see? Oh, that we might see the priorities with the eyes and the tears of the Lord Jesus, who came into Jerusalem and he looked all on the fields, and it says that he wept. Psalm 126, 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You read Psalm 125 and Psalm 126, and with the eyes of weeping is exactly what Christ would have us to do. Go to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to end there. Luke chapter 10. After these things, this is the Lord Jesus, and he is wedding people with the bread of life. He's helping them to see what's the priority of ministry. What's the priority of harvest? What's the priority of a reward? And then he says, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and every place where he himself would come. Paul would pick up this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, teaching others that they may teach others, that they may teach others, and they may teach others. You've had that before. We've had that before with missionaries here and evangelists. One person picks a person and leads a soul, and that two and four. If we would take what Pastor Josh said on Sunday morning, and one person in this year bring another soul, can you imagine what can happen to this group, this church, this gathering of people? Why, we would have to go buy another house, another church. We would have to do that. But we got to have the vision. Now, here's what he says. Look at verse 10. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two before his face in every city and every place where himself would come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And then he says, pray ye, they would send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, I really believe if God's going to do a work in our lives, that we need to be weeping on our knees for every person in here, but that God could send forth laborers. We're the laborers, yeah, we're that. But God give us strength to do it. God give us that ability. Who are you talking to? I had such a burden when I was in Iowa with my brother. I was walking around in the middle of Sioux City, Iowa. I mean, I told this story. And my brother was in a meeting, and I was going, I was hungry. I was going looking for some place to eat, but I was hungry for a soul. I was hungry to talk to somebody. I need to talk to somebody about the Lord. And I walked into the police station, not because I was in, because I was lost. And there was a guy right there for me to talk to. And we had great fellowship. I just really needed a young guy, and I witnessed to him, and it's just like, what? God just put him there. If you get a burden, he'll do that to you. He'll do that to you. You even put him on an airplane with you, too. That's a lot of fun, too. I know Pastor talks about that a lot, but it's neat. It's neat. It's neat. Yep. Go you therefore and preach the gospel, teaching men. That's what it's about. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The harvest truly is great. Oh, we need a burden that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these folk that have come out for our prayer time here tonight. I know we have a lot of burdens to carry. But, oh, what the burdens of souls that are going to be lost and headed to a Christless eternity. And you've sent us. And I pray, dear Lord, you would encourage us tonight to do that. Thank you for that. Thank you for each one being here tonight. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. All right, let's take some prayer requests here quickly. Sorry, I get carried away. I didn't have a pencil or pen. Here we go. Your highlights are there. Brian Tedesco in Japan. Obviously, pray for the president, and you know the situation in Washington is horrific. And